Sound of Hockey episode 120. We're calling this one the Zach Parise episode. Why are we calling it that, John?
Well, I don't know if you've heard of him before, Darren, but nope. Apparently he's got 120 career power play goals.
Wow.
Oh, nice.
How about that?
Ah, yeah. That is impressive.
And he will not be available in the expansion draft.
Correct.
Because he's got a no-move clause.
Yeah. I think he'll be closing in on, like, most goals by a Minnesota-born player ever, something like that. He's got some sort of huge Minnesota-related record coming up. So,
isn't he like an all-time New Jersey Devil great? Is that what he's known for?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely known for his time with the New Jersey Devils. Things have not panned out quite the way that folks would have hoped in Minnesota. This is Sound of Hockey. I am Darren Brown, at Darren Fun Brown on the Twitter. Joined as always by Andy Eide. Hello, Andy.
How's it going? I'm at Andy Eide on the Twitter.
And John Barr. Hello, John.
Hello, everybody. I'm NHL2 Seattle on the Twitter.
And we are coming to you from Seattle / Minnesota. And those of you who are in Seattle, John and Andy, have you had any malls fall on you recently?
Almost.
Yeah. And so as our Northgate correspondent, I'm just wondering what you're seeing and hearing on the ground there. What's the latest?
Well, I was home Saturday when this happened. And for those of you that don't know, as reported by Chris Daniels of King 5 News, that they were doing some demolition at the Northgate Mall where the old Nordstrom's was, and some of the debris fell on the new Kraken practice facility and did some damage, but they're saying it's not going to – nobody was hurt, which is good. Yeah. And they're saying that it's not going to delay their hockey operations, what they're doing there. But what is concerning is it fell on where the bar is going to be, and that's very concerning to me.
I mean, that's a big issue for me. Obviously, yeah, like you said, thank goodness nobody was hurt, because if you look at the pictures, they're actually kind of dramatic. Like, it's, you know, like a big portion of this brand new building kind of got leveled. So that's a big deal and a big oopsie daisy from the folks doing the construction over at the Northgate Mall. So,
Someone's getting a bill, I would imagine. Someone's going to get a bill.
I mean, what a bummer, though, right? Like, they're putting a lot of money into that practice facility, and, like, before it's even opened, it's got this big – it's like buying a brand new car and scratching it at, just as you get off the lot. And it's –
okay.
It's such –
that was unnecessary, John. I don't. If you guys don't know, we bought a car a while back, and I scratched it within a month of owning it, like pretty bad, pulling into our tiny little garage. So, thank you, John. That hit very close to home.
I got a scratch on my car within a couple months. So don't worry. We're all in this together.
Did you ever get your broken windshield fixed?
No. Why would I do that? It's fine.
Because I think it's illegal to drive around with a big crack in your windshield, but whatever.
I can see perfectly. It's
out of light. That's all that matters. That's all
that matters. But I don't know if you guys know this. I don't know if I've ever explained it to you, but that's like a chronic thing in my life. I always have a broken windshield.
Really?
And yeah, like no matter if I were to get it replaced, it's just going to get broken within 6 months. Like, so it's kind of one of these things. If it's not in plain sight and it doesn't appear to have any danger, I just live with it. I know that's ridiculous, but that's my thing. Come on,
I get it.
Give it to me.
I get it, John. I get it.
Well, one thing I'll say is that a small crack in your windshield is very much unlike a mall falling on your practice facility. So, but you're right. Definitely a bummer. I'm sure there was, a number of people at the Kraken that were like, "You have got to be kidding me!"
Yes. Like, I would have loved to have been there when the phone call was made. Hey, neighbor.
I wonder if they waited till Monday.
Yeah.
When you come into work on Monday, you may notice something a little different.
Yeah. Let's get a WHL update from our WHL correspondent, Andy Eide. Andy, hello, Andy.
Yes. How's it going? Things are happening. On Friday, late Friday, like 7 p.m., really weird that this is when they announced this. Usually you announce bad news on Friday at 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. But the WHL had a big board of governors meeting on Friday, and so they are committing to a 24-game season, so they are going to play. We're not quite sure yet when. We think mid-February. Some information came out yesterday that they're looking at mid-February. Still a lot to work out there as far as how the protocols are going to work. We're not sure if there's going to be a playoffs or they're just going to have the division winners, be division winners and hang a banner. A lot still to go on there. There was a lot of rumors swirling around. There's just a lot of unknown. I do know that the league and a couple of the U.S. division teams are meeting with the state of Washington, the Department of Health, in the governor's office. I think that's happening Wednesday of this week, so you may hear this even yesterday when you hear this. And from what I can gather, I think they're pretty positive that they're going to get the okay to do this. So I think we can, you know, maybe 85-90% say there's going to be a WHL season this year.
And so we don't know anything beyond like regular season itself, though, right? Like they didn't say anything about playoffs or how Correct. They're going to close out the season, anything like that. It's just that they're going to play 24 games and that's it.
And it's very possible that they don't have a playoff. So they're going to play in division. That's still the plan, I believe. And, mm-hmm. you know, they're not going to have fans. So this is a major financial loss to the teams. They're doing this for their players. They want their players to help get that development. There's also players who are draft eligible who need to be seen by scouts. It's going to help them. So that's what they're doing this for, because they're all going to take it in the teeth for this, because obviously they rely on fans to make their money. I don't anticipate there being fans anywhere unless, like, they're just not going to – it's not going to happen this year. So right. If you're a fan of any of these teams, you're going to have to watch online. I'm sure they'll still be doing their WHL live streaming, and there is going to be a new system there, which is good news because the last one kind of stunk. But so stay tuned for that. But, yeah, it's kind of exciting news that there is going to be WHL hockey this year.
All right. Agreed. I am curious how they landed on 24 games. That seems like a pretty just, like, random number that they picked, but that's yeah. neither here nor there. We are going to talk about some NHL stuff, so I don't know if you guys are aware, but recording this on Tuesday morning – the NHL season starts on Wednesday for some teams and Thursday what? For the others, unless, you know, they have, like, COVID protocols that they're going through, which is happening to at least one team. But neither here nor there again, and we are excited to see some real NHL hockey back once again. So the first thing we wanted to do, we wanted to kind of just, you know, dip our toes a little bit, see what we think is going to happen this year. I was thinking back to some of our episodes where we've done this in the past, and I remember being very high on the Buffalo Sabres, so that didn't go well for us in the past. Who else? I'm trying to think what some of our other really cold takes were in the past.
I thought New Jersey was going to make the playoffs last year.
Yeah, we were pretty high on the Florida Panthers at one point, yep. I think. So, so gather around. You know, get your kids out of bed. If they're sleeping, get them out of bed, because there's going to be some really good analysis that's about to happen here about the upcoming 2021. You know what? Do we just call it the 2021 NHL season? Like, you know how it's normally hyphenated?
Mm-hmm. I've been struggling with that, yeah. Honestly.
Yeah, officially it's a 2020-21 season, but I think we should just go with 21.
Well, there's too many 20s in there confusing. Anyway. Yeah, I mean, let's just call it the 2021. There's too many 20s in the 2020-2021 season. That's absurd. So,
well, in 2021 is when the Kraken play, so people are like, what? Like, I thought they start in 2021, so we got a lot. We're dealing with a lot of crap here, right? That's all I'm saying.
All right. There's a lot happening. There is. And it's been, what, 6 days since our last coup attempt now. So you'd think that we would have, like, our brains just, like, settled down, but we're still a little off the rails. Yeah, we're on edge. Yeah. We're on edge. Anyway, NHL preview. We're going to go through the divisions and just kind of, I don't have the proper names for these. What is the North called? The Scotiabank North?
Scotiabank.
Okay. Let's look at the Scotiabank North division first. And I want you guys to tell me, which team are you most excited about? Which team do you think is the dark horse? Which team is overrated and won't make the playoffs? And if there's any players to watch in a particular division. Okay. I know that's kind of a lot, but let's do it. All right, John, team you're excited about from the Scotiabank North Division. And just a reminder to our listeners, that's Calgary, Edmonton, Montreal, Ottawa, Toronto, Vancouver, and Winnipeg. The common thread, of course, is that none of them win Stanley Cups.
Ooh, wow.
Speaking of never winning Stanley Cups, I'm looking forward to the Leafs this year.
Okay.
You know, they're fun to watch during the regular season for sure, but it's a very similar team that they had to last year. So, and they were entertaining during the regular season. So
that's true.
And you want me to just go right into my dark horse?
Yeah, keep rolling. Why not?
All right. My dark horse of the North is the Calgary Flames. They added a bunch of Vancouver Canucks in the offseason, so including Bergstrom. So they could take some major steps, or they might just be mediocre. Mm-hmm. And then a team that I don't expect to make the playoffs, that probably many people affiliate with the playoffs, probably the Jets. Like, the North is honestly the least interesting. Actually, the West is probably the least interesting. But, Scotiabank and the Honda division.
Get it right.
So those are kind of my kind of teams.
Okay. Any individual players that you're excited to see?
Tyler Toffoli in Montreal. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Montreal added so much, like, significant additions. I'm interested to see how he kind of plays and how he adds to that team. So that's probably my player of interest.
Okay. Andy, same questions to you.
Team I'm most excited about, as John just mentioned, the Montreal Canadiens. He talked about all their additions, including former Vancouver Canuck Tyler Toffoli.
Sure.
He was a Canuck for like 3 months.
Yeah, but, he's noted historic.
Long tradition there.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to see what they're going to do, if all those additions are going to work. Sometimes teams make all those additions and they don't work.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's a great fan base, and I like when Montreal's good. I think it's just fun. If you've ever seen what the playoffs look like there, it's pretty cool. I don't know that that'll happen this year, but with the fans and the outside the arena and that kind of thing. But it's definitely a fun city, and I like when Montreal's good.
Okay.
My dark horse team, not to like win anything, but I think to be in the playoff hunt, is the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah, that was mine too.
I like it.
Yeah, I just, again, they're a team that, you know, we've kicked around a lot, but they've got a nice young core of players. They've got some prospects. Tim Stutzel is going to be there. It's to be a fun team to watch. They're on the rise, so watch out for them. And then I'm going to disagree with John on my team that I have going the other opposite direction is Calgary. So. Mm.
I'm
leaning more towards that mediocre side that John mentioned they could be.
Yeah, so I mean, I think it's possible. I think it's in the realm of possibility, put it that way.
And my player to watch, who I've been very high on, comes from that same Calgary team that I'm just trashing. But Yusuf Valimaki, who missed all of last year with an injury. He's a defenseman. He was a first-rounder for them a few years back, played for Tri-City Americans, local people may know. And I've just always loved his game. I think he's going to have an amazing year. He's been playing in Finland, and he, I think, in 18 games has 19 points as a D-man. And he had that golden helmet on for a while because he was leading the league. So, look out for Yusuf Valimaki.
Noted golden helmet wearer, Yusuf Valimaki. all right, I'll run through mine really quick for the Scotiabank North, the famed Scotiabank North. I, interestingly, had the team that I'm excited about, I had Calgary, so that's fascinating. I don't think they're going to be like that fun to watch, but like I think they have a good chance at winning the division better than people think, because I think their biggest issue is probably goaltending before, and they definitely addressed that with Markstrom. So that's my hot take there. I think a dark horse team, I think Edmonton, because I like Dave Tippett. He's still good there, and you know, friend of the pod. Two best players in the league, or two of the best players in the league.
Yamamoto.
So, yep, exactly. And Ethan Bear, of course, who I'm talking about. So, you know, there's a lot there, obviously, and I mean, I think that they kind of underachieved last year, so I'm curious to see how they respond this year. And then I think the overrated team, I don't know, I guess I'll go with the Leafs. I think they're going to make it probably to the playoffs, but I still think they're overrated. And my players to watch, I'll go with Stützle from Ottawa. I think he's going to be fun. Wait, did I just say that the dark horse team was Edmonton after I said like 5 minutes ago that Ottawa was my dark horse team? Is that what I just did?
I said Ottawa was dark horse.
Okay. Did you? I think I agreed with you, so I think I now have a whole stable of dark horses, but that's okay. Okay.
That's fine.
Let's move on to the Honda West. John, same questions for you. So team you're excited about, dark horse team, overrated team, and your players to watch. Go ahead.
The easy answer is the Avalanche, but I'm going to kind of get more specific, and I think the Avalanche Golden Knights games are going to be must-watch TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm basically watching. I mean, the Avalanche are just going to be fun to watch, but those matchups in particular, I'm really eager to see. So my dark horse, this was my dark horse last year, was Anaheim.
Mm.
I really like their young emerging core, Sam Steele being kind of the big one there, Max Comtois. And it's probably because I'm really familiar with those guys because I remember seeing them in World Juniors. So it's a bias there. But everything else is pretty straightforward in the West, if you ask me. So I think Anaheim could be a dark horse. Teams that we expect to miss the playoffs that previously made the playoffs, I'm thinking the St. Louis Blues could take a step back of all the teams. I don't expect it, but that's the team that I would say that might be a little ready for a decline.
Yeah, I could buy that.
And Andy, same questions to you.
I'm taking the chalk here as far as who I'm excited about, and that's the Colorado Avalanche. I agree with John, though. I mean, this division's not that stacked. So I think
it's topsy-turvy. It's topsy-turvy.
Yeah. I think Colorado and Vegas could really fatten up on some of the teams in this division, so that'll be a fun race. Those games will be awesome. Colorado, though, I just think is loaded, I think this is the year they put it all together. You know, I know maybe their goaltending isn't the greatest. I know that let them down last year because they all got hurt in the playoffs, but I mean, they have Nathan MacKinnon, right, who somehow doesn't get talked about enough on a national level as being one of the top players in the league. I don't understand how, but it seems like he's underrated. He's always fun to watch just by himself. So they're going to be a fun team to watch. They've just got a lot of young, good players. It's amazing what Joe Sakic has done up there. So I'm excited to watch about them. My dark horse team are the Minnesota Wild.
Oh, you don't say.
I think they could make some hay in that division, and I'm excited to watch Kirill Kaprizov. Is that how you pronounce his name, Darren?
Yeah, that was pretty good. Yep.
But he's not my player to watch, but I'm excited to watch him. I think he's going to make an impact on the Wild there. And the noted Zach Parise is still there, so how could you not like that?
He's his line mate right now.
As far as not making the playoffs, it's kind of tough because most of these teams didn't make the playoffs last year. Yeah. I actually, but I'm kind of mad that John's pick, because I like that pick. I didn't think about that enough. I'm going to go with the team that I guess technically made the playoffs last year, and that's the Arizona Coyotes. I think they're headed for a bit of a nosedive here, which, I mean, they don't have far to go, but it's still going to be a nosedive from where they were. Sorry, Arizona fans. Sorry, Wade.
Yeah, Wade's a big Arizona fan. That's true.
Yeah. My other player to watch is, I'm curious to see how good Alex Pietrangelo is in Vegas. I think
good one.
You add him to a defense that also has Shea Theodore, who's an up-and-coming defenseman, and like their power play, like, you put one. I mean, those are your power play guys, right? And your first and second power play, that's going to be pretty good. So I'm excited to see how good he is.
All right, let's see. Team I'm excited about in the I mean, it's really a two-team race, I think. So I think Colorado and Vegas are the obvious favorites in this one. I've been high on Colorado for like a long time now. I picked them to win the Stanley Cup last year, which of course didn't happen. But I mean, there's no reason not to still be high on them with what they have, and they added Brandon Saad to the team, so even more skill up front. Dark horse team that I think, you know, people aren't expecting to do anything. I don't know. I don't want to pick Minnesota, but I kind of want to pick Minnesota.
I don't even consider them a dark horse. Like, I think they're in the top three, just so you know.
I mean,
so
they still have good defense. We're not going to talk about Minnesota. We're not going to do this. Overrated team that I think is going to fall out. I'll go with St. Louis as well. I think that they did officially sign Mike Hoffman this week, which we all knew was going to happen. But I mean, they lost Vladimir Tarasenko, and they lost Pietrangelo. How do you say it?
Yes.
So I don't know. I think that there's still plenty of skill there, but yeah, I also think that they're starting to head towards a decline. So whether they actually miss the playoffs or not certainly remains to be seen, but I think that it's going to be a little bit more of a battle for them than maybe people think. And then, yeah, my player to watch, I do have Kirill Kaprizov. I am going to talk about that. I've been excited to watch him for years. I'm also excited to see if Quentin Byfield can have any kind of impact in Los Angeles. I was kind of surprised to see that his role with Team Canada and the World Juniors was a little bit less than I anticipated. But, you know, he's the number two overall pick, so let's see if he gets to play it all in Los Angeles. And there's just a bunch of young prospects there, too, with the Kings that are starting to have an opportunity to have an impact. So I think they'll be not a good team, but they might be worth watching every now and then just for that reason. Who sponsors the Central? I don't remember.
It is
Mass Mutual is East. I know
the Discover that. Central.
Sure. Yep. The famed Discover the Central. Yes. Yeah. Discover the following teams: Carolina, which obviously that makes sense to have them in the Central, Chicago, Columbus, Dallas, Detroit, Florida, again.
Very central.
Yep. Very central. Nashville and Tampa Bay, very central. I'm just going to put it out there. I think the team that we're all probably anticipating to be good is, of course, the Detroit Red Wings. Right?
Sure. It's a shortened season. Maybe they win 15 games. I don't know.
All right. So who you got, John?
I'd say Hurricanes. A lot to be excited about over there, except the goaltending. Andy did an article earlier this week about the Carolina Hurricanes and who might be available for the expansion draft. Check it out, because I like the options in Carolina.
Yeah.
Specifically, really Morgan Geeky, Jake Bean, and Hayden Fleury could all be available to Seattle Kraken, and I would be happy with any of them. So keep an eye on Carolina. I think they're fun. The goaltending's a little weak, but hopefully they can bounce back a bit.
Aren't you surprised that they didn't address the goaltending this year? Like, they're coming back again.
Very
with
surprised.
Peter Mrazek and, I guess, James Reimer, right? Why didn't they do anything?
And they have zero goalies signed after the season. They're all either RFAs or UFAs in their system, Darren, all the way down their system.
Yeah, Darren, I don't know if you know this. There was a lot of goalies available in the offseason.
Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I did hear about that.
In fact, I read three articles by you or something like that on it, which I liked, just to be clear.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks for clarifying, because I wasn't sure where you were going with that.
Mm-hmm. Dark horse, let's put Florida in there. They added Anthony DeClaire. He could add some elements, and hopefully Bobrovsky bounces back and is that kind of Vezina caliber goaltender that they need and expected when they signed him to 7-year deal. A team that I expect to drop off. I think the Stars could be a candidate to see a major drop off, because Bishop's not going to be starting the season, and I think there's some other injuries there. They'll probably be fine and make the playoffs, but the Blue Jackets could be also on that bubble that might not make the playoffs. Player to watch, How about Pierre-Luc Dubois in Columbus? He had a breakout during the playoffs, and now he wants out of Columbus. So that will be an interesting player to kind of keep an eye on.
There you go. Andy?
Well, I am also excited for the Carolina Hurricanes. A lot of what John said, they have a nice young core you know, up front, and they've got a good defense. And it really is just the goaltending that is their bugaboo. It'll be interesting to see if they can possibly do something about that during the season. I don't know. It might be tough this year to, in midseason, pull off a goalie switch. But they're going to be their fun team, you know, beyond just the after-game stuff. They're fun to watch play hockey. Also, like John, my dark horses, I agree with Florida. I think that they've got a lot of the pieces. If Bobrovsky can be, you know, close to what he was in Columbus, that's going to make a big deal. He was pretty bad last year. I think that's really a key for them, but they've got a lot of fun players. They got a lot of depth, so they're a team that's going to be fun to watch. And then I'm kind of low on Nashville, who, again, technically made the playoffs last year. I just see them taking a big step back and maybe start their rebuild. I just don't see – you look at the other teams in that division, I don't think they have the depth to match with them. They're at best, they're the fifth-best team in that division, so I don't see them making the playoffs. And then player that I'm excited to watch is Morgan Geekie, another Tri-City American with Carolina. John mentioned him a little bit. He only played, what, two games last year in the regular season, scored 3 goals, though. So that's not bad. He was with them in the playoffs, did play in the playoffs. I think, you know, depending on what his role is, he could have a pretty impactful season there, a good player to watch. And John mentioned, very likely he'll be exposed at the expansion draft when you look at the depth of their roster. So he's a guy to watch.
You know, I don't know why, but I just don't have super strong opinions about this division. I feel like it's pretty obvious the way that it's going to shake out. Like, I think Tampa Bay is going to be the best team. I think Carolina is going to be kind of fighting for like 2 and 3 with maybe Dallas. I think Nashville is kind of going to be in the middle of the mix, and then Columbus in the middle, and then you have Detroit, Florida, Chicago kind of at the bottom. And maybe Florida surprises us a little bit. But I don't know. I don't feel all that excited about this division. Maybe it's because the Stanley Cup winner comes out of there and we know they're going to be good again. Or maybe it's because Dallas is in there and I don't know. I don't really know.
Quick question there, Darren. Mm-hmm. Are you excited to see how bad the Blackhawks are this year?
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. I think once a team stops being dominant, I stop hating them as much as I did before. Yeah. So
that's very mature. Yeah, that's very mature, nice. Darren.
I grew up a little.
I think I would relish the Schadenfreude there and enjoy their yeah. downfall.
Just their delicious tears, their delicious Chicago tears. But, you know, I don't know. I think one thing I'm curious to see is how Dallas responds this year. And I know you guys mentioned them too, but like they made it all the way to the Cup final and it felt a little like an anomaly just because they've never been anywhere close to that. But they are a playoff team every year, right? So is the norm for them to be an elite team? I don't know. I'd be curious to see how they bounce back this year. But I think that's pretty much it as far as things I'm interested in. I don't care about any of the players. Let's move on to the East. The the Masshole Mutual East, is that what it's called?
Yes.
Did I read that right?
Yep, you got it right.
Yes, perfect. Okay. Nailed it.
So the Masshole Mutual East, we have Boston, Buffalo, New Jersey, New York Islanders, New York Rangers, Philadelphia Flyers, Pittsburgh Penguins, Washington Capitals. I'll hang up and listen, John, your opinions on the Masshole Mutual East.
The team I'm excited about and the dark horse is the same. It's the Sabres. They're the team that, you know, added Taylor Hall in the offseason, so I think that could be interesting. And we've been kind of waiting for them to break out and make the playoffs after years and years and years of rebuilding. But this might be the year. I don't think it's necessarily all on Taylor Hall, but I think everything might click for them. So they're my team. I'm excited, and the dark horse. And then the teams. Ooh, this is a tough one to expect to miss the playoffs. I honestly think of all the teams, could be the Washington Capitals. They're just getting older. I don't know if you heard, they also added some senior leadership in Zdeno Chara, the 65-year-old defenseman.
No, that's 6'5", John. 6 foot five.
Oh, okay. You got to get that wrong.
As far as players to watch, how about Nolan Patrick in Philadelphia? He missed all last year due to migraine issues. A high first-round draft pick that hasn't really been in the league too often because of injuries. So I'm really looking for him to make a bounce back and see how he might play out.
Okay. Andy?
Well, my team that I'm excited to watch, not that I think they're necessarily going to be, you know, a dominant team or a top team, but I'm excited for some of the players they have, and that's the New York Hockey Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what can Kaapo Kakko do his second year? They you know, Lafreniere is going to be there. They still have Panarin and guys like that. They're going to be a fun team to watch. Whether that translates into them making hay in the division, we'll have to wait and see. But I think that Rangers games are no longer the black hole of boredom that they were in years past. But we'll have to see how that plays out. And then on Dark Horse, I'm with John. I'm going to put my head in the Lions maw again. And the Buffalo Sabres, man, Dark Horse team. A lot of the same reasons John said. They have players, right? And they, you know, they were like 7% of a percentage point away from making the playoffs last year. If they had beaten Montreal the day after everything shut down, they would have flipped over Montreal and they would have been in the qualifying round. So they weren't like they were that far off last year. And so I think they just need to make that extra step. Taylor Hall could be the guy that does that. And then not making it is tough in this division because you look at some of those teams, it's like, oh man, like there's like a lot of teams in the playoffs here. I'm gonna make a bold hot take here. And I'm going to say that New York Islanders do not make the playoffs this year.
Oh, that's a good one.
Just because, you know, they're a team that isn't flashy. They're a dump and chase team. They're not the most exciting team. And you know, even though they got the goalie coming in this year, I still think that maybe they could take a step back. But I said that last year and they didn't. And then the player I'm excited to watch is the aforementioned Taylor Hall. I'm excited to see what he can do with Eichel. In the center there, I think that could be a very good combination, and those guys could tear it up a little bit.
Okay, so my picks, I have a team that I'm excited about. I actually think the Philadelphia Flyers are going to be better than people realize. I think they have a lot of good center depth, especially if Nolan Patrick is healthy. And, you know, Carter Hart just continues to get more and more mature and even better as a great young goalie. So I'm excited to see what happens for Philadelphia this year. I refuse to hitch my wagons to either Buffalo or New Jersey again, so I'm not even going to comment on them. I am curious to see how Lafreniere plays in New York. I know last year we had super high hopes for Kaapo Kakko there as well, and he didn't do much. So, you know, I would be curious to see if he gets a little better with, you know, one more year of maturity and playing with another young future superstar in Alexis Lafreniere. So I think those are kind of my players to watch. And then the overrated team that may not make it, I'm going to go with Pittsburgh. Ooh, what do you think about that?
That's a good one. Bold.
I think, you know, they still are in that same situation where they have Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, and then all the players around them. But those guys are getting older. You know, they're still elite players, of course, but they're definitely getting up there in age. They are not, what do we say? They're not short in the tooth anymore. So can they still do what they've always done? And this is probably going to end up being the coldest take ever at the end of the season. But
you know what I like about that pick, though, is you look at the last 4 years or so, they're getting eliminated earlier and earlier, right? They won the Stanley Cup, then it was second round, then it was first round. Mm-hmm. This last year, they lost the qualifying round. So the next progression of that is missing the playoffs. So I kind of like that pick.
You know, John, you mentioned the Capitals, and there is a question there with goaltending, because I know they handed over the reins to Ilya Samsonov, essentially. And then the idea was to have Henrik Lundqvist be his backup and kind of like the veteran, you know, in case things go wrong with Samsonov. But now, obviously, Lundqvist is not playing this year because of his heart thing. And by the way, he did have his surgery, and it sounds like everything went well there, so that's great. But then they don't have anybody else. They brought in Craig Anderson on like a PTO, and so he's not all that reliable. He's almost 40 years old, so that'll be very interesting. I think you're onto something there. You know, if there comes a time where the goalies are getting peppered, I don't know if they have it yet. Like, Samsonov's obviously a good goalie, but he's super young. So there's going to be ups and downs with the young goalie. That's just how it is. So lots to watch there. Anyway, so that's our NHL preview. I think we covered everything quite nicely.
Yep. Take all that to Vegas and win lots of money.
Yes, except don't actually go to Vegas because there's a pandemic happening and we want you to stay home and be safe.
You can bet
safe
online these days.
And healthy, yes. Okay, so lots of news also around waiver wires across the league yesterday. That was on Monday. Again, we're recording on Tuesday. There were, I think it was 70-plus players were placed on waivers as teams are breaking camp. We put down a list here of the players that we thought were most notable. Noah Juulsen, he actually got claimed by Florida, so he's going from Montreal to Florida, former Everett Silvertip. Josh Hosang, who just consistently lives on like in some sort of, I don't know, like netherworld between being a like the best player in the league and actually just being a career AHLer. Reed Duke, the original Golden Knight, back on waivers.
Never played for the Golden Knights, but they signed him before the expansion draft.
That's right.
And I don't know if you guys remember this, but they did a video of him. He was playing for the Brandon Wheat Kings, playing Super Bowl by himself because he was the only player on their roster at that point in time, which was pretty funny, but never made it to the NHL.
Yep. Thomas Hickey, Jujhar Khaira, Oliver Shillington. That's not Kylington, that's Shillington. Yep. Friend of the pod, Derek Ryan. Tyler Johnson back on waivers again in Tampa Bay. And then Nick Merkley. And I think my most intriguing of all of them, Corey Perry, has been waived by the Montreal Canadiens, which was interesting to me. I know he signed a league minimum deal, but he also was pretty impactful for Dallas last year.
Just signed him like 3 weeks ago, right? Or 2 weeks ago. So he didn't last long in Montreal.
Well, one thing to consider is this is how they get him on the taxi squad. Mm-hmm. So you have to be waived to get put on the taxi squad. So these guys might be bubble guys right now. And they just basically said, we're not getting as much value as we hoped. So if somebody really wants them, they can take that contract and that player off their hands. So only a few of these guys will get picked up. Like you said, Noah Juleson got picked up by Florida. But that's what to look for here in this scenario. So doesn't mean they're not going to be playing in the NHL.
Very true. I just think it's somewhat interesting on some of these guys, though. You know, there's always a surprise or two like this one, you know, when camps break and you say, oh my God, they put this guy on waivers and they're sending him to the minors. And it's part of the game.
Yep.
At some point, a guy who was impactful 3 years ago isn't all that impactful anymore. And they find themselves either in the minors or this year they're on a taxi squad, whatever that means.
So we're not going to break down all 70?
No. I think we went deep enough in the weeds with our NHL preview.
I was prepared, man. Yeah. I spent all day yesterday.
Oh, you guys don't want to know my specific thoughts on Checks Notes, William Lockwood.
No, I do, Derek. I do.
Next week.
I was all talk about that.
Bonus episode. All right. Yeah. Just to focus on William Lockwood. Right.
That's for the Patreon.
We also had some COVID concerns this week. So Dallas, we mentioned them. They're actually not going to start their season right away until at least the 19th. I think they're back to practicing, I saw this morning, but they have, you know, had to delay their games. Vancouver and Pittsburgh, I know, had some like shutdowns. I don't think did they have actual positive tests, or was that just a out of precaution kind of a thing?
I think it was just precautions. Yeah. I know the Canucks have had scrimmages as of yesterday. They were scrimmaging.
Mm-hmm. I mean, really what to take away from this is that we are not in a bubble, right? This is not how we did it last time. And so I think we're just kind of going to be dealing with this all year. So
we've seen it before, though. It's the same way the Major League Baseball this summer and the NFL this fall, that they had tests pop up and had to make some, you know, rearrange things. I think that's what we're in for.
Yeah, it just kind of stinks, right? It's this is the world that we live in. And, you know, I think as hockey fans and even basketball fans felt the same way, the way that they pulled off the bubbles this last year, you like had this kind of sense of pride, because then you saw Major League Baseball go back to work and just it was a disaster. NFL was also a bit of a disaster and continues to be. Unfortunately, hockey is not immune to it. So we're going to have to deal with this all year, and people are going to be questioning, oh, is it right for them to be playing because we're putting people in danger and all this stuff. And that still kind of is questionable. So it's I know that they're taking precautions, right? But they're not in a bubble. They're not locked down. They're with their families. They're, you know, they have to run errands. They have to do all the things that we do on, or that a lot of us still do on normal life. So things are going to happen.
Nice use of the word immune there, by the way, Darren, too.
Thank you. Yeah, I didn't mean it like that, but COVID, it sucks. It's still going on. NBC has apparently moved on from Mike Milbury, and people were, you know, obviously not sad about that.
Or surprised.
Yes.
But what was surprising is a new addition to the team, almost in theory to replace him. I don't think it's exactly a replacement, but just a funny addition. Who did they add, John?
Mike Babcock.
Oh, yeah.
Yay. Mm-hmm.
Yay. Noted, well-liked personality. Just generally well-liked in the hockey world.
Very, very personable. Mm-hmm. He'll do great in the studio. Yes. Very personable.
Yes.
Never gruff.
No, never gruff. Never been accused of emotionally abusing his players or playing mind games with people or healthy scratching Jason Spezza from the home opener in his hometown or anything like that. None of those things.
Yeah, he'll be great.
Yep.
I'm sure he'll bring some insight to the panel.
Mm-hmm.
He might actually, you never know, right? He might actually be really, obviously he knows the game, right? So he might actually be better at that than coaching. Who knows, right?
Yeah, it's the optics of it though, right?
Yeah.
Like you're getting rid of this guy, Milbury, because of public perception, right? That he's... I saw somebody refer to him as a dinosaur, yeah, where, you know, it's just somebody who is not really with the progressive nature of sports these days. so it makes sense to kind of move on from that kind of personality. And then in comes Mike Babcock, who I think represents in a very different way a lot of the same things. And so,
yeah, I mean, the one thing, though, is to be clear, Babcock wasn't fired because of anything he did other than losing. Right.
Correct. That's that why came he out fired. Afterwards. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like you said, Andy, this came out after and about how he treated his players. And like it's very obvious the world has changed in the last several years, you know, and some coaches are old school and may not have changed as quickly as they needed to. And I think you can put Babcock in this category. Hopefully he's getting lessons from it, you know, or he's learning from this. I mean, I do think he deserves another chance. I don't know when or where, but hopefully not in Seattle. That's all I'll say.
I will say on a much lighter note that I'm almost positive, based on his time with Spokane and the WHL, that Babcock knows the difference between the Space Needle and the CN Tower.
Mm, that's a good point. Very good point.
Good one. Yeah.
Speaking of, I don't know how to connect this one, but Evander Kane has filed for bankruptcy, stating that he has debt of $26 million and $10 million in assets. Does that mean that he like can't pay the loans on those, or whatever the case? It's not a good situation. He has a contract that's worth, what is it, 70 something million dollars over the next 6 years left, I think, on that deal. And so what do we know about this, John?
Evander Kane does not know how to manage his money.
Correct.
I don't know if listeners will recall, or if they've been listening that long, but we talked about Evander Kane having a gambling debt in Vegas, like a lawsuit, and that was settled. It was $1.5 million last year. So it's not very clear how he mismanaged his money, but that might be a good signal, a gambling debt of $1.5 million with one entity,
right? Yeah. Among many other entities, you'd assume, right? So part of me wants to say it's a sad story, and you know, how does somebody like this get into this situation? But then part of me wants to say, how does somebody like this get into this situation, right? And it's easy for me to say, but also it's like, hey, I don't have an opportunity to make tens of millions of dollars, so outside looking in, you're like, hey, that somebody has to be really making poor decisions along the way here, getting advised very poorly to have this happen. Obviously, he is not the first athlete that's fallen into this situation.
No.
But, I mean, when he's right in the middle of his career and also in the middle of a $76 million contract, the idea of being in this bad of a financial situation is just shocking to even consider. But
I think that one thing to point to is, you know, I can't speak for your financial management or whatever, but you didn't all of a sudden come into a bunch of money,
right?
You didn't win the lottery. Mm-hmm. You grew and knew how to live within your means, where a lot of these professional athletes all of a sudden get a bunch of money dumped on their, you know, their desk and say, okay, good luck.
Yeah.
And at a young age too.
Your eyes get really big and you're like, okay, I've got all the money in the world. I can start doing crazy stuff, right? In a nutshell, I think how it happens with some of these professional athletes, and it is unfortunate. And I always wish there was people that would manage their money, but they probably do have people that manage their money and they're just not great at it.
Right. Yeah. And I think everyone wants a piece of it. And, you know, I know that we saw in the claim, there's something where he's got like seven people he's listing as dependents, including uncles and aunts and, you know, all kinds
that live with him.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, or in one of his many homes that he owns and whatever. So
there was a really good ESPN 30 for 30, and I can't remember the name of it now, the title of it. But if you have access to that, about athletes losing money, it's quite fascinating. Like, like Darren said, Kane's not the first. It happens quite a bit. And it's bad decisions, bad money managers. Sometimes it's the family. It's quite fascinating, though, because you would think, oh, you're making all this money. There's no way, right? You're done for life. You're set. But things happen. Bad, like you said, bad, poor decisions. And the good news for Kane is he's still relatively young and has earning potential ahead of him, so he can kind of dig out of it.
All right. We now move on to our segments. And our first segment is everyone's favorite segment that was put on our show notes exclusively by John and Andy, even though they pretend to hate this segment. The segment is Goalie Gear Corner!
Great.
You know, since you're like, you've outed us now, like,
yeah, I'm doxing.
Like our buddy on Twitter, Don't Go Glove, was like, oh, thanks, Andy, for putting that on the notes this week. I really enjoyed it. Like, this is what you've done to me now.
Uh-huh. We have two goal of the year corners this week. Both of them are masks. The first one comes from Pavel Francouz, whose name is hotly debated on how to pronounce it, but I do believe it's Pavel Francouz. He has revealed a special reverse retro mask. So this is pretty awesome. And I think this is the first reverse retro mask that we've seen to go with those, you know, those uniforms that got released over the summer. When did those get released? I don't know, a couple months ago.
Yes.
What is the song?
I don't know. Time is a flat circle. As we know, the Colorado Avalanche have their reverse retro jersey is going to be like a Quebec Nordiques throwback with the Avalanche colors. So this is just kind of in that theme. On one side of the mask, he has a pretty cool like mural of Peter Forsberg and Joe Sakic. And then the other side, he's got the Stastny brothers who played for Quebec back in the day. So all three of them, and it says Stastny brothers. Get it?
Nice.
But it's a good mask. It's a good mask. I really, again, I liked this uniform that they came out with anyway, and the colors are beautiful, and I think it's going to be great. So nice mask here.
He's also got on the side of it, he has a depiction of people playing hockey outdoors.
Good point.
Which I believe is probably a preview tour to the Lake Tahoe game that the Avalanche are going to play against Vegas in February.
Yeah.
So I would imagine that he'll be wearing this mask there.
Yeah. And, you know, we actually saw kind of an official release that they're calling it Hockey in the Outdoors or NHL Outdoors or something like that this week. And they showed like a computer image of how the rink is going to look in their
ad. It's awesome.
It does look pretty cool. They have it right up next to the lake. So I think it's going to be pretty beautiful. And I am now way more excited about it than I was before. So who knew that marketing can have that impression on me?
What is it? Hockey in the Outdoors? Is that what you said it was? Hockey
Something outdoors. I don't know. Outdoor Life Network? No, that's what they used to play on.
That's the old Remember, NHL carrier.
Before it was called Versus, they called it the Outdoor Life Network and made no sense that the NHL was on it. Our next goalie gear corner, we've actually, have we talked about Carey Price? I think we have. His mask before, I kind of ripped on him because I didn't think it was very cool. It was just like very basic team theme. Well, mm-hmm. He has decided that that's no longer what he's going to go with. He is no longer doing a team theme in any way. And instead, he goes with a mask that's like half... I don't even really know how to describe this thing. It's like a skull.
It's like a cyborg or something.
Made of like half metal, half bone. And then it's got like a visible brain and like it's kind of crazy. Now, I saw a story about this somewhere. I think it was maybe Goalie Gear Nerd that was writing about it. He saw a design of like a beer league player and reached out and said, hey, I really like what you did here and I want to sort of copy it. So that's what he did. So like the design is not entirely his own. He was following like somebody who he just saw a picture of and he's like, wow, this is really cool and really creative and I want to do something similar. I like what he did. Obviously he put his own touches on it. There are some small Montreal Canadiens details in here, but you really have to look for them. They're not at all obvious. So what are you guys' thoughts on this one? I'm kind of afraid of it. I don't want to get too close.
Yeah, it's something else, man. It looks like something you would wear for Halloween, right? Like,
it looks like out of a horror movie.
Yeah.
It's like the kind of mask that you buy when you have no other ideas for a costume on Halloween, and you're like, oh, crap, I'm going to that party tonight, and I'm at the Walgreens, and here is a creepy plastic rubber mask that I can put
There's
on.
There's a ton of detail in this. Like, you could spend like a long time looking at this.
Yes, you could. I mean, it is cool. I will say it's very cool. I'm proud of him for stepping out of his shell of just putting a team logo on it and calling it a day, because that's what he's done with his last few masks. But I personally am a little scared of it, and I want to move on. I never want to look at that thing again. We now move on to our weekly one-timers. Corey Crawford has retired, and this was kind of a confusing thing because I think it was on Saturday, the New Jersey Devils, who he had signed a two-year deal with, they came out and said that he was taking a leave of absence from the team because of personal reasons. And then I don't know if it was later that same day or maybe the following day, but then Crawford announced his retirement. So I'm curious, I know it's really none of our business, but like if you sign a two-year deal, obviously you're expecting to continue playing. So I'm just kind of curious what happened behind the scenes there that made him decide he wasn't going to play hockey anymore. Obviously, he's had concussion issues over the years. There's been some other kind of off-ice problems for him. So curious what happened. Again, I know it's none of my business, but want to know because I'm curious like a cat. Crawford, though, great player. You know, he has haunted my nightmares for many years for, you know, just what he did to my team in the playoffs. And, you know, watching him play in the playoffs, he was unbelievable, right? Huge, huge part of two Stanley Cups for the Chicago Blackhawks. Very, very good career for Corey Crawford.
That's right.
Okay, and that's all we have to say about that.
Well said.
And speaking of people retiring, our next weekly one-timer, Jay Bomeister also has retired. His came like very quietly, just, I don't know, all of a sudden Pierre LeBrun was like, all right, so let's take a look back at Jay Bomeister's career. But he played, what was it, 17 seasons? So pretty good player there. A lot of it, you know, the last few years were with the St. Louis Blues, and he did officially win a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, and you remember he had that scary incident where he passed out on the bench in a game. Mm-hmm. And so he hasn't played since then, and so that's probably at the core of his retirement, you know. So that was just last year, last season, which is insane because that seems like 3 years ago.
Yes, flat circle. Our next weekly one-timer. A few signings around the league. So Sami Vatanen, who was kind of, I don't know if we'd call him like a big, huge name, but he was, I would say, the biggest unrestricted free agent left out there. Yep. He goes back to the New Jersey Devils on a one-year deal. Matthew Barzal signs a three-year bridge deal worth $21 million. So essentially it's a $7 million AAV hit. I know that the real dollars fluctuate in there. So at one point he's getting $10 million for one of the seasons.
The last year, yeah.
Man, 3 years of Matt Barzal at essentially $7 million a year. That's a pretty good deal, in my opinion, for the Islanders. I know, Andy, at some point you had said he was wanting $10 million a year, so
yep.
Good for both sides, and sky's the limit for him. And then Jesper Bratt signs with New Jersey, so I'm less excited about that one. But what do you guys want to say about Barzal?
You know, this was the big thing hanging over the Islanders' head this summer, but they do have some cap issues, but they were able to put some of that on long-term injury and get him done. And it'll be interesting to see if his career trajectory keeps going. He was making $10 million that last year. What's he going to ask for in year four or the next year, that new deal? So that'll be something to watch.
If you give a mouse $10 million, he's going to want 10 million glasses of milk. So
that's right.
John?
Well, all these contracts are backloaded because of the escrow and the current state of the economics in the league. So that's why pretty much all contracts that are being signed are backloaded. And they wanted to go long-term, but they needed to move a bunch of salary off the books, and they couldn't find homes for some of the people that they wanted to trade. And so that's why you see a short-term deal. So the big thing is, in 3 years, he's going to get paid even more. And so he's great value now, but Islanders are going to be in a world of hurt in 3 years, I think, when they sign his next contract.
And our final weekly one-timer. Willie O'Ree will have his number finally retired by the Boston Bruins, number 22. Pretty big milestone for that guy, who obviously played a huge role in, you know, breaking down barriers and entering the NHL. And so good for Willie O'Ree, good for the Boston Bruins for giving him that honor.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
We close the show with our tweets of the week. Andy, your tweet of the week.
My tweet of the week comes from friend of the pod, Emily Kaplan from ESPN. Mm-hmm. She tweeted out, I believe just this morning, said, I don't know who needs to hear this, but starting tomorrow, which would be Wednesday, there are NHL games scheduled for 116 consecutive nights. And that just made me feel good.
That is good stuff. I mean, I've mentioned it before. Like, we essentially have now four straight months of no days without NHL hockey. So hide the kids. start working on your butt groove again on the couch. Do your shopping now for the snacks that you're going to need over the next 4 months. Like, just really prepare yourself, because this is going to be quite the ride here. John, your tweet of the week.
My tweet of the week comes from Mike Comito, who's a NHL historian a hockey historian. Mm-hmm. And he's a really good follow. You should consider following him if you need something to brighten your day. This tweet says, on this day in 2015, after being ejected from a junior game, the Alpina Flyers' Mitchell Skiba almost decapitated himself leaving the ice. And that's the gift.
It's a famous gift, yeah.
That's the gift where you see the player coming off.
Oh, where he clotheslines himself, right? Where he's, yes. Yeah, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
That's awesome.
On this day in history. Very
that's
cool.
That's a good find by him, man. That's a good find.
He's great. He's good for that stuff.
And my tweet of the week comes from Sarah Sivian, at Sarah Sivian. It says, I'm okay with Mike Babcock as an NBC analyst, as long as they made him rate the rest of them from best to worst in the interview. So, as you recall, that was one of his things. He had, I think it was Mitch Marner, he was told to rate every player on the team from worst to best, and then Babcock went and like told the team how he rated everybody. So
it was who he thought worked the hardest.
Okay.
From hello, so even worse than best, it was just like who's working, who's not.
Yeah. That wraps up episode 120. Hey, you know, we didn't have a review this week. I didn't mention that at the top of the show, but let's get a couple in the bank for next week so that we can, you know, read those for you and we can mention you and all that good stuff. Make sure to leave your 5-star review. Buy some merch from the Sound of Hockey website. Also, you can subscribe on Stitcher, subscribe on Spotify, subscribe on iTunes. We will talk to you all next week for episode 121. Cheers. No.